All right. This is Russell Crowe. You're listening to Joe the Radio.
Oh, no.
Romper Stomper.
If this is going to be that kind of party, I'm going to take my dick in the mashed potato. Neil, out here, just a little bit. We better
trip without the Jane Cross. It gets a lot colder.
Hang out with your friends.
Struck ground for you.
Valediction.
I don't understand. It's just fun.
In defense of Coldplay.
Hey, bud. Good party.
Oh, what do we know about partying or anything else?
Oh, yeah. What do we know? Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Jonah. Ray Dio can't make it because he's out there on the front lines. Making sure that Heaven gets COVID-19. See what it he's pushing.
Wow.
Yeah, that's because he's like he works for the devil.
It's like that line from Full Metal Jacket where he's providing, making sure that Heaven gets fresh souls.
Yes, yeah, exactly. That voice you heard is Neil Mahoney. Neil, how you doing?
I'm all right. Not great.
Were you asking us?
I'm all right, just not great.
Yeah, well, no one is, but you, Neil, you have the you live by yourself, which is troublesome for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah,
yeah, it used to be great.
Well, you want to borrow a cat? He's pretty gacked out on catnip. I know you're allergic, but
yeah, that's exactly what I need, is like another risk to my health.
I was thinking, you know, just live on the edge a little bit. Yeah. It's not like the old
baby.
Yeah, it's not like the old risky sex and drugs he used to do. But
you know, it's you don't collect that many knives without being the kind of guy who lives on the edge.
Yeah, the edge of stabbing myself in the hand.
Yeah, I just think that this is all over. We're going to go back, and he will have carved his door into like a Rodin sculpture of people. Like he's run out of wood and he's only got knives. So he's just like, fuck it, doors.
And I made a fancy vampire steak this week.
Team Guillermo from
Exactly.
Show?
Oh my God.
Oh, shit, that was on last night.
Yeah, it was a great. Oh, it was a Colin Robinson episode. It's so funny.
Ooh, don't tell me anymore. You know what I watched? Dee and I watched a whole bunch of the third season of the Boulay Brothers' Dracula, which is a horror-themed drag competition show, and it's fucking incredible.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Wow. Like Emily got into it when her and Kumail were out, and they found it when they were in England, and so she and it wasn't able to stream anywhere. She just read about it online, so she bought the entire seasons that were available, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's just because it's like everything's gross, you know. It's like, because it's all like it's all kind of like, it's, so it's the fun of drag and the drama of like a drag competition show, but it's like, but like when someone gets, you know, booted off the show, like there's no like conversation with them about like, it's like, well, I feel that I, you know, could have done better, blah, blah, blah. They just like, you know, they got booted off the show because they cut to a scene, like a horror movie scene where they get killed.
Oh, that's so brilliant.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It might be too sinful for Neil, though.
Sinful?
Yes.
It might be because of the drag?
Yeah, because it's just it's a sexy show.
Yeah, that is true. You can watch Travel Man. We just started that.
Travel Man's fun. That's Richard Ayoade.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife was just napping to some Travel Man before she went in the back.
I got the Libby app, which is a great app for your phone or your Kindle device, where it hooks up to your local library and you can just borrow a ton of books, ebooks and audiobooks and stuff like that for free.
Oh.
I bought a book this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Remember, don't remember what season of Letterkenny, but I bought the book that Wayne was reading.
Oh, nice.
The Black Donnellys.
That's probably available on that Libby app, which is pretty great.
I think it is. And yeah.
I think I paid $2.50 for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They made a series out of that, too.
Oh, they did?
The Black Donnelly?
Yeah. Yeah, it was on NBC for like half a season.
Oh shit.
It's a true story about like a Canadian crime family.
Oh wow. Yeah, the speaking of Canada, I'm reading, I borrowed from Libby, the library, I borrowed Canada by Mike Myers, which so far is he's just talking about Canada the entire time. And it's really, really interesting so far.
Hmm.
But Mike Myers of Austin Powers fame is just like wrote a book called Canada. And it's very interesting. But I'm also reading Iowade on Top, which is a book that Richard Iowade wrote. Basically, it's an entire book breaking down the movie View from the Top. Speaking of Mike Myers, the movie about air stewardesses.
I don't know if I know that movie.
Is Gwyneth Paltrow in that?
Christina Applegate is in it. Candice Bergen shows up. Mike Myers has a character where he has like kind of like a lazy eye. And he has, I think you might remember this from the trailer, Cash, where it's like, she's like, you need to assess the danger. He's like, no, it's assess the danger. You put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah. It's called On the Top.
It's called View from the Top. And then so Richard Iowade wrote an entire book treating it like one of the best movies ever made. And it's called Iowade on Top. And it's a long book so far.
I watched Mystery Alaska this morning, and Mike Myers has like the tiniest bit part in it and is wearing the craziest wig.
Like, oh, really?
It's a super curly red wig. And he's playing like a Canadian like hockey commentator guy. Yeah.
The choices that he makes in his, like, he's made in his career and the, like, since basically The Love Guru are fascinating to me. Like, he's got like a little
before that, though. He did a lot of, he did a lot of weird, he showed up a lot, in small parts, like before Love Guru, even.
Oh, yeah. Or, and then he was like the lead in the Studio 54 movie that they made. Yeah. Which was odd.
Well, that was
like
an ensemble piece, really. He just played the guy who owned it.
Yeah, I guess. And then
what was that guy's name? Fuck. Write in. Tweet us.
Let
us know. Anyway, it's good to be continuing to do this show. We're gonna take a quick break and play a tune that I made the other day.
Oh,
where I just I got bored and made a quick song on GarageBand. I used lyrics from the song Pepper from Butthole Surfers, but none of the chords. Doing my Weird Al thing, but in a different way, I guess.
Yeah, is this going to be a whole genre thing?
I don't know. It's just like I said, I don't like coming up with lyrics. So those are other, you know, just lyrics I know, so I put them in. So let's listen to
your Bernie Taupin.
Exactly. I needed Bernie Taupin for sure.
I'll write you lyrics for your next song. You got to just record it, and then I'll write you lyrics, and then you have to sing it.
Okay.
All right. That sounds like...
Actually, I need the lyrics first. Way to pass on. I need a Bernie Taupin style. I need the lyrics first.
You could do that, Neil.
Just write me poetry, Neil. Then I'll make songs out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Finally, we get Neil to make...
It would be easy. Like, if I need to, like, break down, like, verse, chorus, verse, I need to know how many...
I can make it work.
All right. What's it called, Jonah? Sorry, I only have names.
Oh, it's called Topic.
Is it Quarantine?
No, Topic.
Topic of Disease?
Topic of Disease, yes.
Well, here's Topic of Disease.
We'll be right back with we
Hey.
All right. That was my version of pepper.
Pepper. Nice. You should call it salt. After that, yeah, John Mulaney bit.
I guess I could.
Which one? I guess I could.
Guys. What?
Do I need to turn my volume up? You guys are way louder than me.
You're coming in through pretty good. I mean, okay. Jonah's a little louder, but he's the star of the show.
I'm also concerned that we don't have the songs on a separate track like we usually do.
Are they coming through
mine? This is how it usually is.
Yeah, this is how it usually is.
No. I used to get a separate soundboard track.
On your thing?
I would never see a separate soundboard track. I would always see the three.
There is one when I email it to you, but that, or when, yeah, it separates it out. It just puts it through mine through this. Guys, quick shout out to Zencaster. If we're going to leave this in, thanks for letting us, talk to each other without having to look at each other. Unlike every other podcast.
Cash, what time is it?
Everyone else?
It is 3:17.
No, Cash.
No. Hold on. Christ. No, it's 3:17 and 45, 47, Cash, what time is 49.
It? What time is it?
It just hit 3:18. Time for amusing news.
That's right. It's time for music news. The segment of Jonah Radio.
It is the segment.
News it you could lose.
A segment of Jonah Radio. All right. So here's a thing that's happening in the next episode of The Simpsons coming out this Sunday. Weezer is going to be on the episode sharing a new song.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is it about The Simpsons?
No, they wouldn't. No, they're making a cameo in The Simpsons.
Oh. Well,
see, the episode will take place this Sunday, and it's titled "The Hateful 8-Year-Olds," and in it, Rivers Cuomo and the band will appear as Sailor's Delight, which is a cover band on a cruise that Homer and Marge go on, and that the band just happens to perform Weezer songs from their recent album.
Ooh.
That's kind of like in that thing you do when they do the movie and they're all dressed up like sailors.
You mean Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters? Now, see, they're not, this band, they're not dressed up as sailors. I think they're just because they're a band on a cruise ship. That's why they have the Sailor's Delight as their title. Well, and they're going to be shown. What's it?
Oh, there's a long seafaring rule that if you are in a band, you do have to back up the if you are in a seafaring
Neil,
band, you do have
on,
to back
hold
up.
Hold on. Neil, are you clipping your nails?
No.
What is that clipping sound?
That was me. There was something on my desk.
Was it a nail clipper, and were you using it to cut your nails?
No, it's the power cord for my computer that I swapped out. I was just cleaning it up. I'm sorry. I shouldn't clean.
You're so concerned. That's a great going takeaway. By in the background.
Great takeaway. I shouldn't clean.
Yeah, no. My wife is she's nodding along from the other room where I can't see her. She's like, "Yeah, you do too much."
Yeah, multitasking to the detriment of everything.
And by clean, just piling shit.
Yeah. Hold on, let me just do the dishes while we're doing this.
Technically, Bart and Lisa could have gotten into the Blue Album when they were also the same age that they're going to get into whatever the Weezers are on now, right? Simpsons were on way before the Blue Album, way before Weezer's debut.
Yeah, they
debut.
Would have been. So if the show started in what, 89?
Yeah.
The show started in 89, and then.
The Blue Album came out in like
94. No, 92.
Wow.
Right? 92 or 3. And so. So they would have been like, you know, around about teenager-ish, if you do some math there. So yeah, it's very possible. Mm-hmm. But Bart and Lisa, they're not, I don't think, I don't know if they're into Weezer in this. I know because during the course of the show, Homer has also like been to like Lollapalooza, Hubbabalooza, yeah. I think is what they called it.
And then there's also he's played with I think Green Day, I think has appeared on the show. Fish mm-hmm. appeared on the show.
The Who appeared, I remember.
Yeah.
Rolling Stones did too, didn't they?
I think
speaking
so.
Of The Who?
No, speaking the of whom? Bands on The Simpsons, remember recently how we found out that The Weeknd was a writer on American Dad now?
Yes.
He is?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a music news segment, Neil, that we discussed on the show.
Sometimes I take breaks and walk around my house.
Is that why you were saying we should have a guest? Was it because you wanted to take more breaks?
Yeah, I think so. I also volunteered that we use whatever everyone else is using with the video part so that we can all pay attention to each other.
I just put pictures of you up on my screen.
I think people film themselves. Anyway, this is not. Nope. Anyway, The Weeknd, who is now a writer on American Dad, he too is going to be performing a new song on an episode of American Dad called I'm a Virgin.
I'm a what?
Virgin.
I'm a virgin. Oh. It's in a, and this is what he says. This is how young, you know, it's a, I've been watching since high school. How long has that show been on?
That show, God, it was on DVD when I graduated in 2002. So
American Dad?
Oh no, not American Dad. I'm thinking of Family Guy. American Dad came out after they came back from,
yes, no, yeah, we that's way after the fact. It was way after Family Guy was a success, yeah. Right? It was most, if someone yeah. has access to the internet, it would be nice.
No, I'm not plugged in right now.
All right,
you disconnected your Ethernet cord.
Yeah. I had to go buy an Ethernet cord today.
Moving on, Soccer Mommy. Musician Soccer Mommy, who I believe played one of Bernie's rallies. She is set to do a digital 8-bit music video tour.
Hmm.
Yeah, when she dropped her sophomore record, Color Theory, earlier this year, she was looking forward to playing some live shows, but of course, that's not going to happen. And so now she's doing a digital 8-bit music video tour. And so I guess it's, she says in it, with the assistance of video director Bella Clark, the 8-bit music video tour will allow users to see Soccer Mommy go and play at the cities that the band was meant to play live. So I guess,
but it's going to look like Super Mario Brothers or something.
Yeah. It's going to look 8-bit, even though looking at some of the stuff here, it looks a little 16-bit, but maybe each day is going to be like on May 7th, Minneapolis, Chicago as well, May 7th, Austin, May 7th, Seattle, May 7th. I guess all these, she's doing it all throughout one day. So like,
how about that?
So there's just going to be, she's just going to record like a dance and then they'll comp in like the Space Needle or like that bat bridge or something like that.
Well, she's not going to record a dance because it's an 8-bit music video.
You could do that thing where Mario like raises his hand, lowers his hand. But yes, I see what you're saying.
So for the LA show, is there going to be kind of like a half filled room and then people showing up super late?
Just a line at industry check-in about 20 minutes after she opens.
Yeah. And everyone's comped.
Nobody's tipping. There's bartenders. There's digital bartenders that get mad. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
So this was a headlining
show. The bartender is just Donkey Kong and he just throws barrels of hooch at you.
Smash.
That's not bad.
Axl Rose and someone are having a feud on Twitter. If you were to think Axl Rose is going to have a feud on Twitter with anybody, what do you think it would be?
I know this one, so I'll let Neil take it.
Let's see. Sebastian Bach.
Oh, that's a good one. I think they have feuded in the past.
Yeah.
Weren't they going to box in one of those dumb celebrity boxing things?
Yes.
I think so,
Axl
yeah.
didn't show up for that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say like, you know, maybe okay. Axel and Dave Grohl. I think that seems like they'd be down for having a feud on Twitter.
Or even like,
I don't know. Dave Grohl just likes to make everyone like him, though.
That's a good point.
I could like, good point. Even maybe he'd go back and settle like the thing that broke up, you know, the original lineup of Guns N' Roses. Maybe it'd be him and Slash are fighting on Twitter. Although I don't know if Slash has a Twitter account, but I know it's not a musician.
It's not a musician. What it is Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
Yep.
Oh yeah. I saw one of those tweets.
Yeah. And he ripped him a new one. And then Steve Mnuchin wrote back and said, "What have you done for the country?" And then tagged it with a picture of, with an emoji of the Liberian flag.
What does that mean?
It's the other flag that kind of looks like the American flag.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But it's for Liberia, an African nation.
Well, yeah, what Axl Rose tweeted was saying, it's official. Whatever anyone may have previously thought of Steve Mnuchin, he's officially an asshole. And then, yes, what have you done for the country lately? And then Mnuchin fixed his tweet. Like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe like he just had
Mnuchin was, well, Mnuchin was in show business. Like he was like a producer on Seinfeld or something.
Oh,
he wasn't.
No, he owns he was part in show of Seinfeld.
So was that other guy. Who was the white nationalist guy that was in the Trump
Steve
administration?
Bannon?
Yeah, Steve Bannon was in showbiz too.
Yeah, he was in showbiz, but Mnuchin is an EP, and so he was the money guy on Suicide Squad. He was the money guy on Entourage, the movie. He's
oh, now I'm conflicted.
Yeah, no, he owns part of Mandalay, I want to say, some like big company, and he was just
Mandalay Industries. Maybe that's why Neil thought it was
Seinfeld.
Vandalay.
Vandalay Industries.
While I was looking
Steve
at
Mnuchin, his main thing is importing exporting.
His long descriptions. There's that NPRK news bulletin Twitter account, which is news from the North Koreans. Basically, they put out their version of news. And there was that picture of Steve Mnuchin of his wife. They had gone to the Treasury, and she was holding up, they were holding up like a big thing of like $100 bills printed as a sheet. And the North Korean said, Steve Mnuchin paying a prostitute. That was their title.
How about that Kim Jong-un fucking faking his own death?
Yeah, that was
just to find out who was going to stab him in the back.
Yeah.
That is an Axl Rose sort of situation there. Like, I feel like that's definitely something that Axl would have done.
Yeah. He's like getting a little suspicious of Buckethead in those.
What's funny is that like because of the Liberian flag, Axl Rose noticed it and said, "My bad, I didn't get. We were hoping to emulate Liberia's economic model, but on the real, unlike this administration, I'm not responsible for 70,000 deaths. And unlike you, I don't hold the federal government position of responsibility to the American people and go on TV telling them to travel the U.S. during a pandemic." Damn. Taking them to task.
Yeah, he is.
Well thought out, Axl.
Yeah, Axl Rose, Treasury of the Secretary. Next
and
next
I
semester.
Wonder, it's you know, it's interesting time. He's also going on like he's slamming California officials for not enforcing beach closures, which is true. Dee and I went for a long drive where we went up to like Ventura and then came back down along the coast. Mm-hmm. And there was like anywhere that wasn't like, you know, like kind of like near a neighborhood, there was tons of people packed together on the beach. I mean, like a lot of it was just like real small, like kind of like, you know, gravelly, you know, cliffy beach stuff. But like, Axl Rose said, Q, if the sheriffs can choose not to enforce the beach closures, can the hospitals choose not to admit any possible COVID-19 suspected beachgoers? Just asking.
When is he going to run for something? Like he needs to like, there's the beaches are not good. I'm so glad I was raised in a beach town and hate the beach.
Yeah. I miss it sometimes.
I miss it too, but I miss like the quiet parts. I miss like being able to go there by yourself. I talked to my parents.
I have a feeling. What are you saying?
I was talking to my parents in Santa Cruz. They've basically closed all the beaches so that they won't get people coming over the hill to do them. So they've closed them from like 9 a.m. to like sunset. So like locals can go for like an hour because they don't have to travel, but anybody mm-hmm. coming in from out of town can't go.
Hmm. Sounds mm-hmm. racist.
A little bit. Yeah.
You know what I think is the best is going to the beach in the wintertime when there's snow.
I've never seen a beach with snow.
Yeah, I don't think I ever have either. Is this
it's fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
Because the little bits of water right by the shore will sometimes freeze over. So there's like a little sheet of ice for like, you know, 4 or 5 feet. And then, you know, water's coming in.
Nice.
Mm. But here's a explanation why Axl Rose is kind of talking a bunch about this stuff, being vocal about certain things is because Guns N' Roses is going to release a children's book called Sweet Child O' Mine.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
I would have loved to be in the room when they came up with that, but when they finally said yes to that.
Yes. It was written in collaboration with author James Patterson. And it is and they say, as a longtime fan of Guns N' Roses, I'm thrilled to partner with the band in bringing their famed hit song to life on the page. It follows a child's wondrous discovery that music is everywhere around us, from the gentle wind blowing through the bluest skies to the fearful crash of thunder and the rain.
Oh, is it going to end in November rain?
That's there it is.
I don't know. I may have told this story before, and it's not much of a story, but so let me take some time to tell it.
Clock starts now.
All right. I used to work at a club called, Cafe Fedora, which was a really shitty, place. It was a beautiful place, but it was a really shitty club. And it was famous because they used to rent it to Guns N' Roses back before Guns N' Roses had a record label. And the reason that Guns N' Roses blew up and got that huge contract back in the days. It was either Friday or Saturday night, they would start at closing time. And they would give away Jack Daniels. So every scumbag in Hollywood would show up at this club starting at 2 a.m. and they would go until like 6 a.m. for free booze. And eventually enough scumbags showed up that there was a significant percentage of the record industry there. And that's why they got a huge contract, was they just provided this place with free liquor, you know, and this was like 89 or 88 or something like that. Probably even before that.
Fade O'Do, that was pretty, far from Hollywood. That's down on Pico, right? Like near downtown.
No, yeah, it's Adams. It's Adams and basically La Brea. So it was right on the edge of a not great neighborhood that was being ravaged by cocaine at the time, which may have also been a good thing for them. Yeah. Like everybody was already driving.
So they're partying at some of the clubs. They're like, hey, our set starts pretty soon. Let's leave here. We'll go get some food at Cantor's Deli on Fairfax on the way down to Fedora sound check, and then we'll pick up some Jack Daniels and then give it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was more like they bought cases and cases and cases of Jack Daniels.
Where'd they get the money? Is one of those guys rich?
I think one of those guys is rich.
I think
Duff McKagan was like twice the age. Duff McKagan was like twice the age of all those guys anyway.
Yeah.
But he was like, Duff McKagan was like a old school Seattle grunge guy.
Yeah.
But right? Grunge guy, but grunge is after Guns N' Roses. Grunge killed Guns N' Roses.
Well, like, you know, like Green River and all that shit.
Okay.
Yeah, he's up there.
Like Seattle scene.
Proto. Yeah, Seattle scene.
Yeah.
I listened to a great Bill Burr interview.
It seems to me reminds me of childhood memories where everything was as fresh as the bright blue sky. Now and then when I see her face, she takes me away to that special place. And if I stare too long, I'd probably break down and cry. You know what? This does work.
Yeah, it does.
Is it just going to be the lyrics printed out over like watercolor drawings?
I hope so. And it's just like in the last
the laziest page. Fucking thing ever.
Yeah. And it's like, they were all happy. They were all having a good time. And there was only one thing left for them all to scream. And it was, and you turn the page, it says, give me some reggae.
I was waiting for that to come out.
Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, people that have been making music in quarantine. And one of the things I found was
our friends Ben Getting and Courtney sent me this. It's a it's a family, two little toddlers and a parents, and the dad's on drums, the mom's on guitar.
I thought you were going to say the dad's singing. On drugs.
The dad's on drugs. It's not a good scene. Someone should go and help them, but you know, social distancing.
Yeah, social worker distancing.
Yeah, but this is the quarantine one, Cash, if you want to get ready as I start to explain what that is. Essentially, it's like a little family. It's real cute. They're called the Shapiros. And this is, yeah, it's real, real cute. It's the Shapiros don't want to be no quarantine. All right, let's hear that.
Oh, no.
All right. Wow. So a couple of notes on that. Enunciate. Okay. First off, fucking enunciate. Okay. people write these lyrics and they want to hear them. They want to hear what the song is about. You're drilling on, you're going off, you're going back and forth. I mean, I'm sorry.
Didn't you say it was a toddler?
It's they seem to be about four and five years old. But you know, we've heard some pretty young people sing stuff. I mean, Michael Jackson, when he was five, was singing pretty clearly. I'm going to have to say pass, no record deal for me. Cash, what do you have to say?
This chair is stuck. I can't get it to spin around. I got my hand stuck in there. So I feel if I hit the button and spin it around, it's just going to hurt my hand. So I'm going to give it a pass too.
Okay, now Neil, this is you. It's up to you if the Shapiros get a record deal.
Well, I think it's a full re-record, as you said. You need to retract those vocals, but I think it's got a nice Ramones vibe. And if we just beat those girls like Michael Jackson's dad beat him, like, we could probably get them to enunciate.
All right, cool. So there you go, Neil, you'll be flying to wherever they live, and then I'll do that. Here's the thing. I found this. I don't know where this is from. Zach from Fiddler sent this to me, but it's this adorable family from Japan. It's like this kid on the drums looks to be about six. There, it looks like their mom is singing, and you can't really see the other people. But this is a adorable little family doing their version. We played a version of a Rage Against the Machine with like a dad and her daughter on acoustic. Mm-hmm. Listen to this one. This is like Baby Rage.
That's amazing. Oh, that's
a good drummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kid's a great drummer. Little kid. It's like it's a tiny kid behind this drum set. And like at the very end, like you can't really see the face of the lady singing. It looks like it could be their mom because like when she like pops up after at the very end, like a darn, 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 near her voice, and she just has this big proud smile and she's just like she's having a blast.
That's so funny that like Yeah, they just probably don't recognize that that's not a bunch of words you want to scream around a six-year-old.
Or just a sentiment you want to teach a six-year-old.
Yeah, oh, it's going to set a bad precedent for the teenage years.
Yeah,
that's a good point. A very good point.
Although give them all the music of rebellion, and the only way they'll be able to rebel is like, well, join the Young Republicans, which isn't a great thing right now, but yeah.
I've probably said this before on the show, but like when I was a tween, my mom heard me listening to Minor Threat and took all my tapes away because it was just curse words. And then she read the lyrics and was like, okay, you can have them back.
Shout out to Claudia. Oh, wait, these are taking down the man? All right.
Well, no, it was just like I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't, all that kind of stuff. And then she's like, all right, you can listen to this.
Hit.
Hey, guys. This is Cash interrupting to talk to you about Blue Chew. We'll get you back to the show in just a second. But I wanted to talk about BlueChew.com. If you like sex, you'll love BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. At BlueChew.com, you get the first chewables with the active ingredients sildenafil or tadalafil, the same active ingredients as in Viagra and Cialis. BlueChew.com affiliated physicians work with you to find the dosage and active ingredients that is best for you. And chewables can work faster than regular pills, and they can be taken on a full or empty stomach, so you don't have to worry. It's a lot less like medication, and it's a lot more like a chewable. Online physical consult is free, so it's cheaper than those other two, Viagra and Cialis, and it only takes a few minutes to connect with BlueChew.com affiliated physician, and if you qualify, you get prescribed online very quickly. No in-person doctor visit, no awkward conversation, no waiting line at a pharmacy. It ships directly to your door in discreet packaging. The chewables from BlueChew.com are made in the USA. Look, guys, we're in the middle of a crisis where everybody's staying home. If you're staying home with a partner, hey, it's a chance to maybe experiment and just put on a hell of a show. And if you're alone, sometimes having sex for a while can cause some confidence issues. Go to BlueChew.com/Jonah, that's J-O-N-A-H, and maybe you can get fortified for your first real step outside. Not the one out the front door, but the other one. And with the chewables from BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com gives you confidence in bed every time. You and your partner will love it. Chew it and do it. It's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use the promo code Jonah. Just pay $5 in shipping. That's it. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Jonah.
So Mark Lanegan and Liam Gallagher, I guess, have been in a feud since like 1996.
Oh, I read about this one. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is
Mark Lanegan,
funny.
Is that Screaming Trees?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess in this book that Mark Lanegan made, he says he recounted some tension with Gallagher when the Screaming Trees were supposed to be doing a U.S. tour with Oasis in 96. He says Lanegan said that Gallagher referred to his band as Howling Branches. And then Mark Lanegan responds with, fuck off, you stupid fucking idiot. And then so like, I guess like because he talked about it, it's like he called he called Liam an obvious poser, a playground bully. Like all bullies, he was also a total pussy. And so Liam goes on Twitter, as he's wont to do, and he says, Mark Lanegan, here's how I saw it. I asked you your band's name. I was fucking around and called it something else. You being an uptight junkie and not having a sense of humor got your little grungy knickers in a twist over another bullshitter trying to sell a book.
Jesus.
Oh, boy.
How has Liam Gallagher never written a book? He's like fucking Dickens whenever he insults somebody. Like I kind
of
want
both of them are. Yeah. It's like any interview with both Noel and Liam It's like, if you don't like the band or you don't like them personally, that's like, it's entertaining as fuck. Yeah. Like, it's like Noel's Hot Ones episode is so good just because he's like, you know, it's just like that working class, like Northern England. It's like, they're just funny and they just talk,
yeah,
you know?
I didn't know you did Hot Ones. I got to go watch that.
Yeah. The Noel Gallagher Hot Ones is really, really good.
Okay. Right. I'm not putting any more on.
That's fine. That's fine.
Oh, it already tastes fucking... Oh, already. It's not even gone in. Anything, why does it not burn your stomach?
Yet.
It's just like, and he's got like great answers for everything. And he's just like very like kind of no bullshit. But here's the thing that Mark Lanegan responded on Twitter to Liam saying, "Coke addicts are junkies too, you fucking tool. The stupidest kind. Still trying to make it like you're hard? I could have then, and I still could put serious hurt on you. Leave it alone, dickhead, unless you're actually ready to finally step up." This is Mark Lanegan just showed his like kind of true colors, I think, in that. Like, yeah. It's just like, I hate that. Like, it's like, oh, you think you're better than me? I'll beat you up. It's like where Liam's just using words.
Yeah.
And he's not saying like, he's not saying he can kick his ass. He's not saying like, that's the bro-iness of like people like Mark Lanegan, I think.
Yes. And and it just falls back on I'm stronger than you. And yes. Speaking as someone who's stronger than you, that's not cool.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But then he also said Liam has never written a decent song by himself or with the teams of songwriters hired to do it for him. Ooh. I would, however, gladly write with Noel. He was the one blessed with the talent, wit, and brains in the family.
Ooh, that's a shot fired.
Yeah,
he knows how to get to him. Like, everything else might have been just a warm-up to, like, your brother is better anyways, because he knows that one's going to land.
Well, that is basically true, right? Like, Noel wrote all the music, and then
Liam and Liam sang it, but, like, Liam's voice is just, it's good, and he's a good front man, and he's charismatic, and he's good, and, like, it's just the tone of his voice. And it's, you know, it's funny because like we got into a space where it's like you didn't write your own songs. Like, you know, a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
We still celebrate. We still celebrate singers. Like, yeah. But like when it comes to rock singers, for some reason, if it's rock, it's like, you're not allowed to just be a singer, it seems.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the I think that's the sort of pop rock division is like, nobody gives a shit if a pop star doesn't write their songs, but when a rock star doesn't, it becomes an issue, and it's sort of like, well, let's.
I think it's only an issue among other musicians.
Yeah,
because I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, good song's a good song.
Yeah.
Hence my love for Adele.
That one may just be added to the group of drops.
Yeah. apparently, Mark Lanegan claims that he and Liam Gallagher set a date for a physical fight, but that Gallagher left Oasis's tour before the fight could happen.
Yeah, that was the part of the headline that caught my eye, was he was like, I was the one that broke up Oasis because I was going to fight him, and he decided to cancel the tour instead of fighting me. And I was like, that seems like if that was going to happen and I was the merch guy on that tour, I'd be like, hey, you know what? I'll fight him. Let's just keep going. I need another.
That's pretty lame to fucking agree to a fight and then not go.
I don't think he agreed to a fight. I don't think there were like seconds and anything. I think it was just like, I'm going to kick your ass.
What does setting a date mean?
That's a good point. I don't know. Maybe they were going to do it instead of playing at one of these arenas.
Just go get punched in the face. It's not so bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, here's another thing. It's I guess like Mark Lanegan also tweeted this. He says, I didn't almost get into it with Annual Notes by Trail of Dead. I guess they had like kind of a beef. He says, I gave their fake tough guy drummer what Nick Oliveri described as the most calculated 15-minute beatdown he'd ever seen. I got to imagine Nick Oliveri, who we all know as the goatee bald guy from the first couple Queens of the Stone Age.
Queens, yeah.
Yeah. But the one that was kicked out because he was too much of a speed freak for Queens of the Stone Age.
yeah.
But he said, he thought he could disrespect and walk away unscathed. That only happens if you're packing and I'm not. See, that's Mark Lanigan. Like, it's like, I hate that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, so a, wait, you know, that's a guy who can ruin a scene.
Who beat up who in this situation?
Mark Lanigan beat up the drummer for Trail of Dead.
Oh, okay.
Aaron Ford, who is now dead. So I think that's why maybe Mark Lanigan deleted that tweet.
Is he? Was he a drug person? Is that why he's dead?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I don't know for sure. It doesn't say in this.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Speaking of dead. looks like the Troubadour may not survive. The Los Angeles Doug Weston's Troubadour in West Hollywood, one of the best venues in Los Angeles, except for the location.
Really? That's
they're not doing good because it's looking like you know, LA, California in general is not going to open up live shows until next year. And
fucking hell.
And that's why we need a rent and mortgage suspension.
I think that's crazy that the Troubadour would. There's so many people that like the fucking Eagles, Bosquet. Like there's literally like an entire generation of well off musical talents that came through that place. Like somebody should save that. That like it's not like it's the smell or something like that. Like,
where are the goddamn Smothers Brothers?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. All these like Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The estate of Richard Pryor.
Yeah. Where's Jim Morrison at?
Well,
yeah.
France, I think.
Where's Harry Nilsson and
John Lennon.
Where's Harry Nilsson and John Lennon? Wait, what's that? Oh, I got a lot of catching up to do. COVID's crazy.
They were pounding brandy and milk there every night for a fucking year. And they're just barfing everywhere.
Oh.
Neil, they're called Brandy Alexanders.
Yeah, well, I'm just
and it was
to...
just a law. It was just a lost weekend, brother. and other deaths, Florian Schneider from Kraftwerk died at 73.
Oh, I
can't
heard
deny
about that.
The can't deny. That's a good run, I think. 73.
Not so bad.
The Kraftwerk. Well, it's just an incredible band, and like in one of the most influential bands. And also a nice, like there's a reference, what's the band that's referencing Kraftwerk and Big Lebowski? Is it?
Flea Autobahn? And Amy Mann. Yeah.
Autobahn.
Autobahn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Knox Harrington, the video artist.
Now, remind me or correct me if I'm wrong. They do have Kraftwerk has a song that goes, "I am the operator of a pocket calculator."
Yes, pocket calculator. And they also just have one called the Tour de France. They have the Tour de France too, which is just like just breathing for most of the thing.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
They're great. It's like there's so many great songs they have.
Bambata would sample them on the reg.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very influential in hip hop.
Yeah. Because they're great. Future funk. And they always had like instrumental tracks and loops and stuff.
I highly recommend everyone who's heard of Kraftwerk or if they're a fan of Devo or anything kind of that era stuff. It's like, I'd say like, just kind of go on and do a deep dive and look around. They got a lot of cool, weird stuff.
Kraftwerk with a K and an E instead of a C and an O.
Yes. Yeah. It's spelled Germany.
Yeah. Dave Greenfeld, Stranglers, keyboardist, died at 71 due to complications from COVID-19. I just played a Strangler song on one of those radio streams I did.
Oh yeah, those are great, by the way. I listened to
Thanks, it was fun.
I listened to him the other day when I was on my break at work, and I left my headphones at home so I couldn't finish listening. But guys, check out Radio Free America on Mixler.
RAYDIO Free America.
I signed up for that to listen to the new fucking DJ Hennessy Youngman.
The what?
DJ Hennessy Youngman, like CVS Bangers guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. He put a new one up there and I think it's, I forget what it is, but it's like, it's a different store.
Yeah.
It's like a, I don't know, A&P grocery store or whatever.
Nice. Tony Allen, Afrobeat drummer, dies at 79. Brian Eno called him perhaps the greatest drummer who ever lived.
Wow.
He did a lot of work with Fela Kuti. Fela Kuti. Oh, okay.
Fela Kuti.
Yeah. Fela.
Fela Kuti. And then Millie Small, Jamaican ska singer, who is best known for the single My Boy Lollipop, who basically is the song that brought ska to the masses. She is dead at 72.
She
not
is
dead.
To blame for bringing ska to the
hey, yeah.
She was allowed to. But not dead. Madonna, who says she's tested positive for antibodies and is now going to go outside and breathe in the COVID-19 air. She said, I took a test the other day and I found out I have antibodies. So tomorrow I'm just going to go for a long drive in a car and I'm going to roll down the window and I'm going to breathe in. I'm going to breathe in the COVID-19 air. I hope the sun is shining.
Well, shit, I go for long drives too.
Yeah, you can. That's,
yeah,
I don't have any fucking antibodies. You're in a fucking hermetically sealed vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys keep your masks on in the car or do you?
No.
If I'm going for a short drive, like I'll go and get my like cranberry juice and shit.
Cranberry juice.
Is that like a Neil Hamburger reference or something?
Sounded like it.
Yes, it is exactly a Neil Hamburger reference.
Okay.
But instead of saying cranberry sauce, I said cranberry juice.
Oh.
I love cranberry juice. I grew up on it. It's the best.
Yes. That's because you're from New England.
Well, they have bogs there.
Cod. Yeah, we got bogs. Cod. I had a friend in high school who died in a cranberry bog. Downer.
Yep.
Downer.
Was he 70?
No, he was fucking 16 or something.
Mm. Was he trying to get cranberries?
No, he took too much acid and took all his clothes off in the wintertime and fell into a cranberry bog.
Ooh, Jesus.
No.
Yeah, it's fucking gnarly.
That's crazy.
It's nice that you've stuck with cranberry juice, though.
I still love cranberry juice. Yeah. It can't stop me.
Yeah. Even though it took
part of them now. All the cranberries have a little bit of that guy in them now.
I'm usually an Ocean Spray guy, but my local, you know, the closest place I can buy supplies at only had, and this is the most shady thing ever, they are not a Costco, but they are selling Kirkland brand cranberry juice for like $5 a gallon. And I'm like, this seems like it's not exactly legal.
Yeah.
Fell off the back of a truck.
Yeah. No, they just went to fucking Costco and bought $2 gallons of cranberry juice and started selling them for $5.
Hey, $3 a bottle is a fair bounty at this point for anybody that has to go in a Costco.
Yeah, good point.
I've never been in a Costco.
Oh, they're
big.
They're big. They're fine. I used to love their hot dogs. You used to be able to just walk up and go to their snack
bar.
Get
a hot dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Because
one hot dog is way better than another hot dog.
Well, they're $1.50.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
So you can get two.
There it is.
And it comes with a drink. It is.
Costco.
Pay with quarters.
Costco, Home Depot, and IKEA. All places that sell hot dogs.
Yep.
I have eaten at an IKEA. I'll admit to that.
Well, who hasn't these days?
In Weird Al news, in the new Quibi season of Reno 911, Weird Al is going to be playing.
Sorry, my paused Back to the Future Part 3 ran out.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say that sounds like a ZZ Top.
Yeah, ZZ Top with a mandolin.
Yeah, but Weird Al is gonna be playing Ted Nugent in the new season of Reno 911.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
On Quibi? Yeah, I'm never going to see it.
No, that's not true. Quibi will be acquired by something soon.
Yeah, you think maybe all VRV.
I mean, do you think that like Quibi is going to get some sort of other streaming deal so that people can watch it?
I don't. You think it'll be like the...
Because the whole gimmick is you can turn the thing to the side and it's a different thing or whatever.
I don't know. I think it all depends on who those two assholes call up and be like, hey, we need help. Who is it? Meg Whitman and whoever else is running it.
Meg Whitman's out, I think.
Oh, is she? Well, she's get back into
politics. What are we talking about?
Quibi.
Quibi. Quick Bites.
Like, no, nobody cares. And especially what's crazy is
good point, Cash. Nobody cares.
Well, I was just gonna, this is a time when people like need new, fresh entertainment, and it's still not even working now. Like,
yeah,
you couldn't have planned it better.
I tried to sign up to watch the show I worked on, and it just wouldn't let me. Yeah. Like, it was not a perfect system, but I still get ads. Still get ads on the tweets.
Yep. And I
should play a song. We've been doing news for like a half an hour.
That's a good point.
Yeah, we're gonna play one last piece of news, and then we'll go into a song.
Okay. Okie dokie.
Recently, I don't know where this is from, but John Waskell tweeted this, and this is "Kiss from a Rose" by not Seal, but Seals. Let's take a listen to this, Cash.
That last one was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's funny.
Baby. All right. So that's it for music news. We're going to break for a song by Pilau, P-I-L-A-U. Kevin Titty, who is a friend of mine. He was like an old Hawaii punk guy. Now he lives in D.C. doing stand-up comedy. He opened up for me when I was doing some shows out there. He just released an EP with his band Pilau, which is great, like, you know, hardcore power violence-y kind of stuff. But this is a track off of that called Unaware. It's real quick, so we'll be back in a little bit to wrap up the show.
Property value down. They can buy the land at a lower price. Then they move all the people out, raise the property value, and sell it at a profit. It's called gentrification.
That was Pilau, and that is it for our show. I had a good time. Did you guys have a good time?
I did have a good time.
I had a great time, and I had a Bundaberg ginger beer.
Ooh.
Australian, oh, nice. Family-owned.
Those are so good, but that's the sugar crash I have on those are insane.
Oh, really? Oh, shit. Let me look at it. Ooh, 40 grams.
Yeah, what's like, isn't it like two servings in a single bottle? What's the calorie count on that?
It's 170 for one bottle.
Oh, okay. That's not so bad.
No. Yeah, it's
like, so I mean, 90 is like a Coke, and it's better than a Coke.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I that's been my like daily excursion, is to go buy exotic sodas.
You go every day out to a store?
Pretty much, because I burn through liquids. I just drink cranberry juice and fucking mix it with soda water. Get a little fizzy cranberry juice.
A little cran soda.
Yeah.
Maybe should you maybe, just to be safer, maybe like buy a bunch at once, and then so you don't have to go to a store and go out.
Well, no, I like to leave the house every day.
I know. It just feels like it's a little bit It feels like you're not following the rules.
Why? I go out for 15 minutes a day.
But you're going and you're spreading whatever diseases you have, putting them into whatever store you're going to, whatever bodega you show up at.
I got masks.
Picking up stuff from that terrible bodega.
Mask and gloves on.
Oh, that's great. That's good to know. I was just testing it because I'm all right. Well, Mike's screen is glitching out. Let's wrap up this. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no.
Let's wrap up this show. I hope everyone out there is safe. Thanks for listening to the show. If you want your music showcased on this show, send it to
please.
Us at Jonah Radio.
Yeah.
Send us stuff.
You're inside. You're stuff. Making noises. Record some of them and send them over.
Yeah.
Yeah, send give it, us your send us quarantine your, ditties.
Yeah, quarantine songs. We'll do if an you need, all quarantine song.
If you need Neil to write lyrics, please reach out to us.
Yeah, but you got to write the music first. I can't just start from nothing.
Yes, you. Why not? You need to be inspired by the tunes. Barney Taupin didn't know. He didn't know what the songs were going to be.
Barney. I don't know about Barney, but
what was his name?
Bernie.
Yeah.
So no, Barney Taupin is my new. It's just Bernie Sanders writing song lyrics for Elton John, and it's all about the 1%.
Yeah.
No, the 1%.
1% of the all right. Top 10%.
All right.
It's a.
What do you want to go out on?
The yellow brick roads are being laid down by the working class.
Goodbye, yellow brick roads.
Where does the candle in the wind come from? Union labor.
burn down the mission stays exactly the same.
Yes. all right. Our last song is a band out of Seattle area. They're called Kuroshi, right? Kuroshi?
Yes.
My screen is messed up so badly.
How you spell
it's
that?
Gonna give me a seizure.
You spell it K-A-R-O with a little line over it. S-H-I.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a little line.
And this is a great song. I hope you guys like it. What's it called, Cash?
Arsonist.
Arsonist. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Goodbye.
Bye.